Tokyo, Australia, Germany, Africa.
Here we go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, as John Fox said. It is the 31st day of May. May is mercifully coming to an end. Oh, glory, hallelujah, it's been a tough month. It's the 31st day of May, 2017. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live, and that's where we go to hang out in the chat room. Just click on chat room, pick yourself out a screen name and a password, and jump right in there, and you will be immediately met by the likes of Anatole and Barkway and Hoghead and Laborman and Squeaky and VT Blom, all capably moderated by recently obtained in a trade for a moderator to be named later, utility infield moderator Steve from Georgistan, midweek version, Sparky, who is a Spacing Guild master, has the night off. Yes. So we find ourselves at midweek and the end of May. The 31st day of May just happens to fall upon a Wednesday. Wednesday is prayer meeting Wednesday. And, thanks overnight and in the middle of the afternoon. Thanks overnight to Jim. And thanks in the middle of the afternoon to Judith. We have only $170 to go in fundraising to finish the month okay and to nudge the Norsky and lick the Lithuanian. No, Steve from Georgistan. We're not trading you. You were recently traded for. You came over from a farm club in exchange for a moderator to be named later. No, you're not being traded. We are executing the reserve clause. Right. Attempts at humor. You know, when you got to explain the joke. But thank you very kindly, Randy and PA, loud and clear on iTunes on my Mac. Good. And I will note that we've got $170 to go, and I just got it. Hey, Ron and Raleigh, you're going to have to drop a note to the Daily Coast people. They are running roughshod over your gimmick. I just got another Bob email letting me know that poor Daily Coast only needs, another $16,325.17 to make it through May. Jesus, God, What would we do with scratch like that? Oh, well, let's see. Solar panels, off-the-grid horn, new broadcast equipment. Maybe even move over into video, build a little video studio here. Just attach it right here to the studio at the mansion. Right. And it is, like I said, the middle of the week, hump day, downhill to Friday. But, brethren and sistren, hallelujah, hout, glory! I am pleased to remind you that it is also prayer prayer meeting Wednesday. Prayer meeting Wednesday on the Horn. Amen and amen. Brethren and sistren, we had a lovely, lovely fellowship dinner down in the fellowship hall of the Cathedral of Common Sense. The little old blue-haired ladies pulled out all the stops, and some of the little old blue-haired men fired up the grill, and they put some of them, they call them Western-style spare ribs. They're not really, but they're just... They put them in their special marinade, and I think they'd been sitting in that marinade for about 2 days in the frobigerator down there in the fellowship hall kitchen. And they set to grilling them, and I'm told they were tender as they could be. They saved back some of the juices and fixed me some barbecued spare rib yogurt. But the barbecued spare ribs were there, and there was... the corn is beginning to come in from down south, so there's roasting ears and butter to slather it in. Mm-hmm. Right. So it was a lovely, lovely dinner. Lovely. The roasting ears and the... And there was some greens. Oh, there was some delightful greens. And it was all so tasty. And strawberry shortcake for dessert. I don't know why I wound up with the barbecued rib yogurt instead of some strawberry shortcake yogurt. I'm going to have a talk with the little old blue-haired ladies. But after it was all over with and the strawberry shortcake was all gone, well... the deacons did what the deacons always do. They trundled their massive bulk up a couple of flights of stairs out into the parking lot, where they set to smoking with the sinners. They chain smoked about a half a pack of Marlboros and, well, Tarletons and couple of Benson and Hedges, and after a little bit, Sister Carol Baker, who was not late for prayer meeting Wednesday, praise Jeebus, appeared at the vestibule door with the solar powered cattle prod, fairly a crackling and a cackling. Mm-hmm. And thus did the deacons take wings to heal and go a flying through the vestibule door, past that bowl of desiccated butter mints and down front where they are awaiting now, brethren and sistren, a holding they are of the great big brass velvet lined collection plates. As we prepare to have the offertory hymn and pass the plate and hopefully raise the $170 it'll need, that is needed to end the month, this brutal, brutal month of May. And just keep your eye scrunched a little bit, so as you don't get cronked in the noggin with the offering plate. Just press that little PayPal button in the bottom, and we will be right there, fine as frog's hair. So we'll bring the minister of music forward. Minister of music, if you would please lead us in the offertory hymn with every head bowed and every eye closed. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.
And he said, it's time for you to leave behind the things of this world, the fine houses, the fancy cars, the flashy clothes, because we are naked in the eyes of the Lord.
Stop! This man is clinically insane!
Ladies and gentlemen, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you say, Amen!
Amen!
Let me hear you say, Praise the Lord!
Praise the Lord!
Let me hear you say, I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around.
I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little plate when it comes around.
And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Praise Him for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, He's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs, and soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. Stop the Sermon on the Mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest, he'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD, just $40.95 plus GST. Hallelujah, plenty of moolah, solid gold baubles on my Christmas tree. I've got all of heaven's riches, thanks to all you stupid bitches. Praise the Lord for modern Christianity. Whoever said religion should be free?
Oh, brethren and sistren. Brethren and sistren. Ooh, ee, ooh, ah, ah, ting, tang. Walla, walla, bing, bang. I love you. Welcome, welcome. Welcome, brethren and sistren, to the Cathedral of Common Sense Prayer Meeting Wednesday. I'm calling on you, how glory, right now, to get up out of your seats and onto your feet and wiggle and wobble and waggle and scrunch and screech until you get out from betwixt the altogether too close, how glory, pews, without sticking anything offensive in any of the other parishioners' faces. And come on down that blood-red aisle and fall upon your knees and lay your hands upon the subwoofer. How? And feel the healing rays. Amen. Glory. A-flowing through you from the server. How? On high. I am Archpope, Uber Rabbi, Ultimate Imam, Animated Animist, Antagonized Agnostic, Vicarious Vicar, Maximum Metropolitan Bob Kincaid. And this here is the Cathedral of Common Sense Prayer Meeting Wednesday on the Horn. Brethren and sistren, glory. I want to extend a special welcome. Because our Atne Ute Itbre correspondent of the last couple of weeks, Brain, has heard the Lord's call, glory, and he has come shambling and stumbling and bumbling, a-wandering and a-wayfaring, right smack dab into the sanctuary. Yes, amen. And amen. All are welcome in the Cathedral of Common Sense. How? Yes, indeed. I don't know how long he'll be there. If you want to wander by and just take a look, and then you never know when this opportunity is going to again present itself. Amen. Amen. And amen. Brethren and sistren, I got to tell you that we have real tales, real accounts of faith, miraculous faith in action this evening. In this heathen nation, brethren and sistren, we have people who are out there trying to help the heathen see the light. Oh, brethren and sistren, I got a dedication going out to our buddy, the angry Indian, because this will set him to kicking furniture. Jesse Lee Peterson, brethren and sistren, Jesse Lee Peterson got on his tax-free radio program to sound the trumpets of praise for the comrade kumquat, for the tangerine Tiberius, for Commodore Cantaloupe. You know, that guy that Brain voted for, and so many other trumpanzees. What is Jesse Lee Peterson proud of? Why, Jesse Lee Peterson is proud of Marcus Aurelius for shoving his way past the Prime Minister of Montenegro. Let's go to the recording, shall we?
You've heard me say over and over and over again since day one of President Trump, when he first announced that he was running office, and he's going to put a big, beautiful wall around the borders. He's going to make America. I said then that this man would be president. I had no idea that the light that's within him would be shining on the darkness, and the darkness would come out in the world.
Yeah.
I had no idea that he exposed the darkness. And he sleeping meals. He has those weaklings trying to get in front of him. He pushed them out of the way.
Yeah.
Obama would have stood behind in the back. Yeah, like this.
I should grab that video for you.
I'm the baddest man, and our new sheriff is in town.
Did you see him dress down all those NATO leaders?
Oh, yeah. Y'all better go sit down. Obama's not here anymore.
That was very funny.
White power.
Yes, sir.
White power.
No, really. This really is. I probably should have issued the hockey puck warning, shouldn't I? This is Jesse Lee Peterson, African-American, upstanding Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual minister, chanting white power on his tax-free religion industry broadcast. Mm-hmm. Ah, dang it, angry. Of all the times that you'd be absent, because this guy's going to get... You're going to love this extra special double plus good. Oh, there's angry. Good. Jesus fucking Christ, angry says. We're only getting started.
Loving it. I love good. I love the light. I love it. It doesn't matter the color of the person that the light is coming from. I love it. Mm-hmm. I like rejoice when I see men and women stand up with the love of God operating through them, overcoming evil.
Yeah.
Isn't that something?
It's really nice.
We are so fortunate to have President Trump.
Yeah.
It looked like God had given up on us with Obama.
You know?
We were like, by the end of the 8 years, we were like dragging through that last year.
And what exactly was it, brethren and sistren, that made him drag through that last year? What was it? Was it the fact that Obama came and got all their guns? Was it the fact that he set up those FEMA camps where they had to get re-edumacated, all the trumpanzees and wingnuts and teabaggers and birthers and deathers and ninthers and tenthers and birchers and booger eaters? Oh, they was just dragging. Because the mere existence of Barack Obama being president drove them into paroxysms of maniac rage.
Lord, save us.
Remember, Hillary Clinton appeared on Fox News like a year or two before. It was probably in 2014, and she was on with, I don't know, a couple of those people on Fox News. And she just sailed her way right through that interview, not getting questioned about anything.
Oh, yeah.
And you said, she's going to be the next president.
I know.
There's nothing to stop her. No Republican is strong enough.
It just looked like we weren't going to make it through.
Yep.
And I was like, Lord, if ever we needed you, Lord, we need you now. I had to get on my knees.
You know, y'all think that the stuff I do at the beginning of the prayer meeting Wednesday, this is just a reminder. Y'all think it's just some sort of made-up shtick. Are you listening to this cat? This is real. This isn't some parody. This is a bona fide 501c3 tax-exempt religious maniac. Clarity, nice guess, but no. I think Jesse Lee Peterson and Clarence Thomas have actually been seen in the same room together. They are not the same person. Although the betting is on, it's still on, and the inquiries are going on in the chat room as to who Brain really is. Don't know how much longer he's going to be in there. You might want to run by. It's kind of like the thin cybernetic veil behind the Moran Monday tent in there right now. Anyway, okay, please, Jesse Lee Peterson, continue.
Yep.
And God heard my prayer. Isn't that something? Because we were like, can you imagine yourself hanging on a cliff, on the side of the cliff, trying to hold on? Oh, Lord, help me. That last 8 years, the last year of Barack Obama, winding down. And we're just trying to hold on in this country. Oh, Lord, why? Why, Lord? Why me? And then the Lord said, be cool. Trump is coming. I will send my son, and he will save you.
And I was telling you, all of the millennials, all the people my age and younger, all of them were brainwashed and for Obama or worse.
Yeah, were.
And it turns out there's a bunch of them that like Trump and they're willing to fight.
Isn't it beautiful to see white men and women finally standing up?
Yes.
And these are young men and women, too.
Yep.
And fighting back and saying, hell no, we won't go.
White men and women finally standing up. You know, finally. As Angry Indian points out, I see he was dipping into the port bottle just a little bit. No. Nah, fuck it. Some powerful fucking shine. 100% pure corn. Or they're sucking on Everclear. Either way, it'll make you goddamn mad. White America is finally standing up. Because, you know, white America's never stood up. Because, you know, all those Knight Riders, well, they were sitting down on their horses. Right, yeah. Okay. Point taken, Devin. Easy with the cat, referring to the dude as a cat. Easy with that, Bob. You're offending feline life forms. Oh, I know. I'll have hell to pay when I get back into the other part of the mansion. Mm-hmm. So, white people finally standing up.
What do we want? Donald Trump. Where do we want him? Now. It's so refreshing. Because if white people give up completely, it's over for the country.
Yeah.
It's the whites who make things happen.
True.
Blacks and Mexicans don't make things happen.
You got that? It's the white people who make things happen. Blacks and Mexicans don't make things happen. Jesse Lee, buddy. Who laid all the stonework for, say, the White House and the United States Capitol? Who cleared the roads? who built the capitals of the various states of the Union? Yeah, the one in the South, the ones that were still standing after the Civil War. Hey, who did? Yeah, that wasn't white folks. That was black folks making things happen, you know, through forced labor. But he's right. White people are finally standing up. Oh, yeah. Damn Skippy. Couple of Marines. Active duty Marines were arrested for standing up. They drove hours and hours and hours from their home to take part in a pro-Confederate clavern last week in North Carolina stand. Yep. The story comes to us from the Times News. Eastern North Carolina publication. And recount the ordeal of persecution, brethren and sistren, of Marine Sergeant Michael Chesney and Staff Sergeant Joseph Manning, who got themselves arrested for trespassing after they draped a banner with a white nationalist, there's that stupid phrase again, white supremacist motto on it from a building in downtown Graham, North Carolina, back on May the 20th. The banner had a quote on it from George Orwell's 1984. He who controls the past controls the future. And then it was followed with the all capital letters. We've got a little experience with those lately, don't we? YWNRU. Yunru. Hey, maybe that's Norblappian for brain. I don't know. Yunru. Actually, it stands for "Ye will not replace us," which is a slogan that has been advanced by the tiny, tiny, itsy bitsy brained members of a group called Identity Evropa. They use the V instead of the U, so that they think that makes them all Roman like and everything, and makes their name look like it's been chiseled in stone or something. When they were arrested for trespassing, these two Marines, Sergeant Michael Chesney and Staff Sergeant Joseph Manning, they said they went there to record video of protesters from the IWW, the Industrial Workers of the World, the Wobblies, the world's least effective labor organization, suppressed back in the early parts of the 20th century as being commies, brutally suppressed. They wanted to prove that the IWW wasn't peaceful. Now, what a couple of off-duty Marine sergeants need to prove the IWW aren't peaceful, I don't know. One Marine comes from the Marine Corps Air Station at Cherry Point. The other one comes from the Marine Corps Engineer School at Camp Lejeune. And the Marine Corps is now investigating because, of course, our military, whether one likes it or not, and I don't, our military is deeply infiltrated by Christian identity types, by right-wing Christian dominionists, Christian reconstructionists, the Klan, neo-Nazis, skinheads, and whatnot. Yeah, these two particular Marines have served tours in Iraq and Afghanistan. Thank you for your service. And they are presently under investigation by their superiors in the Marine Corps. Hopefully they will be dishonorably discharged. Because the military has a rule. Particularly the Marine Corps has a rule. As of 2009, there is a Marine Corps policy that prohibits active advocacy for, quote, supremacist doctrine, ideology, or causes whose purpose is to deprive others of civil rights. Well, I'd pretty much say that adopting the active slogans of Identity Evropa falls pretty squarely within the boundaries of that rule. That's what I'm saying. But it's a very serious thing. We really, really do have a white supremacist problem and a dominionist and Christian reconstructionist problem inside the United States military. Mikey Weinstein over at the Military Religious Freedom Foundation has been documenting it for years. Checking in a couple of notes. Robert in Australia, subject line, God? It's nice to know that while America needs God to help you every fucking step of the way, the rest of us just get on with it. It's amazing how the rest of the world seems to get on with it. When one goes to Europe, one is delightfully free of being subjected to all of this hay-shaking and God-blathering. But no, we can't get by. Nope, sorry. I mean, in the United States of America, this just a little story from my personal experience. We all know that my dietary intake is somewhat limited. And so when I get a little bit hypoglycemic, as I did the other day, well, I just popped by. I was over in Beckley. Monday, as a matter of fact. And I just popped into this fast food place that prides itself on its milkshakes. And it's the place is called Cookout. They claim to use only fresh burgers, and they grill them backyard cookout style. Okay, whatever your shtick is. I wasn't there for the food. I was there for a milkshake, just to, you know, provide a little bit of sustenance. I won't be going back. And for those of you of a like mindset, if you get anywhere near one of these joints, pass it by. All I wanted was a milkshake. Wendy's was out because, you know, their so-called Frosties are just a mass of frozen, whirled vegetable oil nastiness, and not particularly chocolatey either. And so I walked in there and said, "I want a milkshake." They said, "You do?" I said, "Yeah, I do." And so I got, you know, and they advertised 40 plus flavors of milkshakes. So I got me what I like to call an Elvis shake. It was all shook up. Thank you very much. An Elvis shake, by the way, is a chocolate milkshake with peanut butter and banana. I figured that would boost my blood sugar enough to I'd be okay, you know, getting home.
Hypoglycemia sucks. You get all sweaty and shaky and you feel like you're coming apart. Well, I got my milkshake. I paid for my milkshake. It was a pretty tasty milkshake. Little hunks of banana in it and everything. Yummy. It really was. It was a good milkshake. And then I looked at my milkshake cup. And I got to tell you, I don't make a habit of, you know, examining the disposable containers that you get at a fast food joint. But in looking at the decor of the place, I began to wonder if I was in Chick-fil-A. I mean, even Chick-fil-A doesn't, you know, hit you, but because there was a sign that says, no matter what is happening there, it's always something to be thankful for. And I went, oh, that sounds like religion industry code to me. And so there it was, on my cup, a Bible verse. Look, this is prayer meeting Wednesday after all. If I want religion, I'll go to church. I don't want religion, and thus I do not go to church. I mean, if you want to get down onto it, into an itsy-bitsy, nano-micro level, the extra money that went into printing that Bible verse on that cup goes into the cost of my fucking milkshake, so I was actually paying these hypocrites to Bible at me. It's part of the cost of the production of the cup. And it turns out, when I researched them a little bit, by God, well, it's on their. There's a Bible verse on their burger wrappers, and they've got a Bible verse for their French fries, and they got a Bible verse for their milkshakes, and their soda pop. Oddly enough, none of the cups, none of them are. And the Lord said, "Thou shalt not consume high fructose corn syrup." Marty, the name of the place is Cookout, and I don't think you have to worry about it because it's sort of a redneck cracker kind of fast food joint. We've just gotten our first two of them here in Almost Level West by Cold Trump Genius Stand. There's one in Huntington and one in Beckley. I'm sure they will propagate like rats, though, if they're at all successful. They pride themselves on, clarity. Oh, biblical big bobs. Sort of, yeah. But they're all over North Carolina and South Carolina and Georgia and Alabama and Tennessee, Kentucky, and now they're in West Virginia. And maybe I'm just a little hypersensitive about this, but we talk about these things on Prayer Meeting Wednesday, so it's okay. What does God need with a burger joint? Wait a minute. I think that qualifies as an indirect obligatory Star Trek reference for the evening. I imagine that Robert and Oz is sitting there going, really? Yeah, really, Robert. So tell me, Robert, if you want to go out and get a burger or whatever, it's some sort of fast food joint. Are you going to be assaulted with Bible stuff? And I read up on him and went, well, you know, I mean, this is a very deeply Christian family, and it just seems sort of natural. I'm guessing they're not going to be adding any quotes from any verses from the Quran or the Bhagavad Gita or the Rig Veda or the Upanishads or the Code of Hammurabi or the Epic of Gilgamesh. Granted, some of them were from Psalms and Proverbs, so that kind of brings into... well, that brings Judaism sort of into it through the back door. But I don't think they probably sought the permission of any rabbis in doing this, because being how there's the bacon all over the place, and the place is not exactly, you know, kosher. And it leads to a larger question. Why do these religious maniacs, and I don't care if they're the lammy, lovey-dovey types that say, I have a blessed day, and God is love, and do you have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? I don't care. I don't care if they're, if they're like, what's his name? Coach Dave Daubenmeyer. Remember Coach Dave Daubenmeyer? Coach Dave Daubenmeyer is the jackass who thanks God every day that he doesn't have any big-bottomed lesbian softball-playing daughters because they raised him Christian-like so they'd grow their hair out and not have big bottoms and be lesbian softball players. They's just good, heterosexual, submissive female softball players. He don't want anything to do with that lammy loving Jesus. No, sir. Mm-mm. No, how. No.
I remember about a year ago, maybe it's a little bit longer now, I was listening to Michael Savage, the Savage Nation.
He's
not saved. He's not even close to saved. But Savage a lot of times will go to the scriptures and read the scriptures. I think he's a non-practicing Jew. And but he'll read. He's smart enough to go to the Bible because of the wisdom that's in the Bible. And I'll never forget what he said.
He's right. Michael the Savage Wiener, Savage, is a non-practicing Jew. That means he's not practicing anymore. He got it right. But, of course, what Dave Daubenmeyer won't tell you is that in Dave Daubenmeyer's sick, twisted worldview, Michael Savage is going to burn forever in the eternal lake of fire because he's not he has not confessed the Godhead of Dave Daubenmeyer's personal Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Nope. And such being the case, well, never mind. Let's just, don't put the hockey puck away. Let's put it that way.
Just kind of, you know, again, one of those arrows hit me right in the face. He said this, the only thing that's going to save America is a more militant Christianity. Wow. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God suffered violent and violent men taken by force. And as much as we, listen, fellas, as much as we don't like it, Bible's full of violence, full of it. It's just full of it. The thing that separates the Bible from everything else is that the Bible teaches violence as a last resort. But it does teach us that there's a time for violence. There's a time for war. There is a time for war. And you look at all the crap that the disciples went through, and you look at all the crap that's going on around America, around the world, even today, the violence against Christianity. And the only thing that's going to save Christianity is not going to fail. The only thing that's going to save Western civilization is a more aggressive, as Savage said, more violent Christianity. I don't know if you saw this or not. The media has gone crazy over this. Trump walking in the authority as president of the United States, as the man who's large and in charge.
He is large, Coach Dave, and apparently getting larger. And in charge, well, we're not quite sure who's in charge. It might be Trump. It might be Jared. It might be Jared's handler in the Kremlin. It might be an oligarch banker. It might be the Russian mob. We're really not sure who has the actual video recording of the Donald Trump pee-pee party. But in charge, not so sure. But no, it's not driving. It's scaring the hell out of a lot of people because some of us, Dave, don't think that the United States is going to do too well in the aftermath of a nuclear holocaust, because, well, nobody does real well in the aftermath of a nuclear holocaust. But this guy, being a Christian, is just itching for some violent Christianity. You know, like what we had in Portland the other day. There's some violent, militant Christianity for you. Or then you can look at the entire history of Christianity itself, you know, about 2,000 years worth, and it ain't nothing but violence and militancy. Right? Yeah. So, it doesn't matter if it's the sweet lammy Christianity or the sort of Klan Christianity of a Dave Daubenmeyer. The question is, why does it have to be injected into business? Does Cookout not want, say, Muslim business? I mean, you don't, and for that matter, maybe you're not particularly orthodox about your dietary laws and stuff. Jewish business. Do they not want, well, I mean, there's some vegetarian stuff. I can imagine maybe Hindus walking in for a salad or something like that. And more importantly, given that somewhere between 20 and 30% of the American public are non-believers generally, do they not want that business? Because they won't get mine ever again. Because I will not pay someone to preach at me. It's bad enough to pass the plate and you give what you can. It's another thing entirely to, we'll be happy to sell you a hamburger, but you're going to pay us to give you Bible verses too. No, sorry. And the only way they've flown under the radar so far is that they haven't done the things that Chick-fil-A did. You know, and damn, I kind of hate it because I kind of like Chick-fil-A once upon a time, too. And that was a damn good milkshake. And, well, I'm sorry, Ron. Ron in Raleigh says, dang it! I just had a Cookout shake yesterday. First I had to give up on Chick-fil-A diet lemonade. Now I have to give up on Cookout shakes. Thank goodness I have a local burger joint called Circus Drive-Thru. Large shakes, half price on Sundays. Don't go to Sonic, please. Ignorance is bliss. Put up their Friends a Coal sticker, then boom, they were, I mean, gone. But I don't care if it's fast food joint, a slow food joint, a hometown pharmacy, a whatever, car lot, millinery fast. Why do these evangelical fundamentalist Christians? Why does their privilege permit them to think that it is to make us pay for their religion at the same time we're paying them for whatever the hell it is they're selling? Care if Cookout offers hormone-free, free-range, cruelly killed hamburgers that appeal to, that checks off every box that matters to a liberal and a progressive, I'll never go there again. And what's more, the Bible verses themselves are kind of stupid. Let's see. I mean, and everybody's taken note of it, but I seem to be one of very few people who are saying, you know, no, this is really kind of unnecessary. Let me try this again. Why does my cookout cup have a Bible verse on it? And it's been picked up by right-wing, fundy, evangelical websites. Ah, okay, yeah. Here we go. On the bag, they put "thank" in all caps, kind of like when Brain sends us a letter. "Thank you, God, for America." And then the accompanying Bible verse, they just give you the quote. You have to go and look it up yourself. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." You order up some onion rings, you get "God bless the USA," all caps again. And a quote from Galatians 6:10. "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." That means if you're not a believer, they'll do a little less good unto you. And what was on my shake cup? Proverbs 1:7. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." You know, instruction from people who didn't know why it rained and were baffled by the idea of the wheelbarrow. Gotcha. As the blogger over at The Gurgling Cod puts it, "Keen-eyed readers will notice that the texts supporting these claims have not that much to do with the text in all caps. Historically-minded readers will be scratching their heads at this point, too. The King James Bible dropped in 1611. The USA debuted in 1776. So a reference to the USA in 1611 would be like, oh, Travis McGee listening to a Marlins game on the deck of the Busted Flush." That is a lovely, lovely, lovely John D. MacDonald reference there. In other words, unless America or the USA, same diff, is the place the Lord ordained for Christians way back in those demo versions of the KJV written in Hebrew and Aramaic, maybe. In a week, so that writer says, it might be, you know, a bit much and a reason to hold out for the next five guys. Jesus. But, you know, short of Iran, I mean, I imagine if you walk into Falafel R Us in Iran, you probably got a Quran verse from the approved Shiite translation on your bag on the way out the door. But the rest of the developed world, the so-called civilized world, and I don't include the United States in that anymore. Do you get a dose of Jesus with your fries and your shake and your burger and your onion rings and yeah. So Dave Daubenmeyer wants a more violent Christianity. I don't know how much more Christian violence we can stand. Thinking about Dylann Roof and the guy in Portland, and who, by the way, Tucker Carlson. Why couldn't he have said this on Friday so we could have had it for more on Monday? Tucker Carlson said that it's unfair and improper to refer to the Portland murderer as a white supremacist. No, really. Maybe, Tucker's afraid it's going to reflect poorly on his local chapter of the Klan? I mean, would the Klan even allow Tucker Carlson in? Ugh. Robert, in Australia, there is no violence against Christianity here. You can go to church anywhere you want, as often as you like, and no one will stop you. No one cares. We do have the usual idiot politicians attempting to ride the all Muslims are evil dragon. Only their fellow idiots take them seriously. Meanwhile, up in Pennsylvania, is Stan. Eric writes, subject line, right with you, Bob. Is there any difference between the ignorance of religious followers and the ignorance of Trump followers? Both are looking for an alternate reality that can take them out of the complex reality that they can't navigate for themselves. Well, you're right. Silent R. Lamar pointing out, hey, Bob, holy cow makes the best milkshakes. Maybe they're out there blessing them in the fields at Cookout. Who knows? Steve, a member of the fraternity of Steve, writes, go for the shake, stay for the saving. Bob, really? Long as they don't jack off in the shakes or start sticking little plastic crucifixes in the burgers, I'd let the food make my decision. Seems better to just laugh at Holy Scripture printed on a French fry container, unless you think a bizarre schizophrenic-looking clown really wants your children to eat right. And if you ask real nice, maybe they'll give you a 10% Holy Redeemer discount. I know. But it's the principle of the thing, Steve. It's a matter of, because it's not just that they're not giving me the Bible verse for free. I'm paying for it. If I want an empty cup, if I just go in and say, could I get a cup? They'll charge me a dime for the cup. That means that that cup with that Bible verse printed on it has financial value, has economic worth. And believe you me, the accounting guys who work out to the 92nd decimal, they know exactly how much that Bible verse costs to print on that cup, on that paper, on that label, on that little box. And you can bet your last nickel that they factor that into the cost of the food that they purvey. That's my only point. Unless you want to pay them to Christianize you, you kind of got to stay out of there. But of course, their goal, you know, just like Dave Daubenmeyer here.
The man who's paying all the bills against those little wants. Now, I want you to watch. They call for the press conference. You ought to watch the Young Turks and what they said. You ought to watch Maddow and what they said about how he's not presidential. And he's rude. And he's egotistical. I want you to watch Trump walks up and he is going to grab one of these leaders, the leader of NATO, I think is the guy. Trump grabs him, puts his hand out, pushes him back, and Trump walks in front of him, walking in authority. Not acting very presidential, see. They want us to be like Obama and bend over and let him have us, right? That's what they want us to do.
Oh, you mean like when he bent over and curtsied to the King of Saudi Arabia? Of course, as Sister Carol Baker points out, Rachel Maddow never said any of that shit. But it doesn't matter to Dave Daubenmeyer. Dave Daubenmeyer is a Christian and therefore a liar. Because it's what they do. Because most of the entire faith is based on untruths. You know, you start out with, oh, Mary was a virgin, when actually the word only means young girl in Hebrew and Aramaic. It doesn't mean person who has never had sex. So it starts with a falsehood and proceeds thusly. But they want a theocracy. They want rational people, normal people, thinking people to have nowhere to hide from their desire to force upon us their twisted belief system. And if you take enough time to sort of imagine your way into that future. How about a show of hands? Who's watching The Handmaid's Tale on Hulu? It's not, doesn't seem so far-fetched anymore, does it? That book was scary as hell when Margaret Atwood first published it. It's only getting more so. Yeah. So, you know, the cookout, if you've got one near you and you don't want to pay for religion, yeah, if the food's good, great. Yeah, I mean, I can't argue with Steve in China, except to the extent that, you know, if you do go to Chick-fil-A, then you know that some portion of the money that you're paying them is going to support groups that support anti-LGBTQQQ hate. And if you go to a place like Cookout, you're paying them to preach at you, and in turn, God only knows what they do with their money. Who knows what right-wing candidates they support? Sure is a good burger, though, huh? They make a fine milkshake. Oh, yeah. Dwayne just sent me a photo in Washington County, Pennsylvania. DQ Grill and Chill, and they got a big screen message board. Jesus and a big shining cross. I'm going to be in real trouble when I find out that the sushi joint has gone all Jesus on me. The day my sushi sensei looks at me and says, "Have a blessed day," out the door there too. Haley on Twitter says, "The Handmaid's Tale on Hulu is scary AF, and many parallels to Saudi Arabia, save the name of God being the God being worshipped." Well, that's because there's, if you sit down and you do the one-to-one comparison, there's a whole lot more in common between theocratic autocracies than there is difference. Not saying, just saying. 3 minutes past the hour, here endeth the lesson. Actually, we've got more lesson. Angry Indian telling me Forever 21 does that shit too. Well, as the late great prophet Bill Hicks, peace be upon him, would say, that's a good dollar. Oh yeah, that's a very good, the Jesus dollar. That's a good dollar. Very good dollar. So we'll take a break. And again, we've got $170 to go to finish off fundraising. For the month of May. Still kind of behind on some bills, but we do have that to finish May. And thanks again to Judith, and thanks again to Jim for taking it down from what it otherwise would have been. Thank you very kindly. 17 at 10, 10 at 17, 2 at 80, 1 at 170, 2 at 85, 4 at 42.50, 8 at 21 and a quarter. After that, the ciphering, you know, not so good. So, a little break. If you want to get involved in the program, well, there's somebody already on hold on the Skype line, but, you generally know how to do that, don't you? Yeah. This is listener-supported conversation, Progressive Radio. This is The Horn.
It's over, gone to the land rock. Saints will tremble and cry for pain, for the Lord's going to come in his heaven airplane.
Yeah.
I think that's my favorite line out of the whole song. Nobody calling on the phone except the Pope may be in Rome. I haven't played that in a very long time. What if God was one of us? Sheryl Crow. Tremendous prayer meeting Wednesday tune. Note coming in from Steve in New York, Brother Usher Steve. I've normally counted myself Christian in my life, Steve says, though I have essentially dropped that moniker because I actively hate and frankly do not have the capacity to love certain people, Trump, for instance. And I can't in good conscience call myself a Christian because I actually take that love your enemies stuff seriously. However, I still hold the Beatitudes as the very essence of Christian behavior. Yet when I hear people like Dobenmeyer speak like this, I seriously wonder which Jesus they're talking about, because it seems so incredibly incompatible with the plain meaning, see what I did there, lawyer stuff, of the Gospels generally and the Beatitudes specifically. I understand that. Look, I'm a recovering Southern Baptist. I was dipped by the heel in this stuff as a child, and generally when you get dipped by the heel as a child, it sticks. And it does to a certain extent. Some of that stuff goes all the way down, and there's no ridding yourself of it. And so when I see someone standing on the street corner and I got a $5 bill in my pocket, you know, there goes the $5 bill, because there it is running through my head. If you've done it unto the least of these, my brothers, you've done it also unto me. Which is, you know, not a concept that is exclusive to Christianity. It's about being just a decent human being. What I love is when the Christian walks up and says, well, you know, he's just going to use that to go buy booze. I mean, that's happened to me on more times than I can, occasions that I can count. I turn to him and go, you're a Christian, right? Absolutely, brother. I said, then what do you give a damn what he spends that money on? As long as it makes his travail on this planet just even an iota better. Before you go picking the mote out of his eye, why don't you attend to the beam in your own? Christian. So, I understand what Steve's getting at. But it's not that Steve's doing it wrong, it's that the others are. Quite sincerely doing it wrong. But there's a baked-in problem. I'm sorry, that was Joan Osborne. My bad. Thank you, Marty. I don't know why I had Sheryl. Well, because it says so in the... yeah. Joan Osborne. That's right. Thanks, Marty. It's baked in that all you have to do is believe in certain magic things, and you get a harp and a halo, and you sit at the right hand of God, and you get pie in the sky when you die. That is the failure, the absolute failure of Christianity. That's why you've got the mortal terror through the Middle Ages of people dying unshriven and rich people leaving legacies, leaving, you know, money in their will for monks and priests and nuns to pray their sorry souls out of purgatory. I mean, remember, under Christian doctrine, the people who were killed defending the lives of the Muslims on the Portland train, they died unshriven, according to Catholic doctrine. That means that no matter the fact that they gave up their life for another, greater love hath no man than this, that he would give up his life for, right? Nope, sorry, straight to hell till they get prayed out. So, you know, while I don't buy into all the magic and the hoodoo, the existential parts I can get down with, but I'm not going to any church, and I'm not going to pay some gospel sharp to tell me how to do it better. And so I adopt the mindset and the philosophy of our dear friend Peter Godbold from many years ago. He said, I love Jesus, but I am no Christian. I don't want to be associated with those people. And remember, Christian is an idea that was invented not by Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer and itinerant semi-literate rabbi, It's something that was introduced by a misogynistic, hallucinating tent maker named Saul, who was guilt-ridden for having participated in the persecution and murder of an early follower of Yeshua named Stephen. He invented Christianity. Jesus didn't. The Jesus cult was simply called The Way, and it was an exclusively Jewish cult until, you know, Saul Paul took it on the road. And then, yeah, angry, then there's the Constantine part of it. Of course, there's a whole institutional development of it before Constantine gets there. But this is probably not the night for that. I am going to the phones in just a second. News Ninja Gene with a question. Since the folks at Cookout are printing the Bible verses, do you think they're hoping for the tax break? And it's all tax-free. Well, it's like we've got a little tax-free coffee joint over across the river. It's part of the church ministry making espressos and selling them for $5 a cup. Meanwhile, Charlie in Tennessee says, this Dobbenmeyer character is a nut. If Christians acted like Trump with the authority of Christ, the churches would be in one sad fix. Trump and his son-in-law have no morals. What's Dobbenmeyer trying to start? The free-for-all church? No, he's trying to start the Church of the Civil War. The new one. I keep saying it. People think it's hyperbole. It ain't. Hey, let's run over and check in with Devin. Hey, Devin.
Hey, Bob. You burst my bubble. I was trying to give the Cookout people the benefit of the doubt. Thinking that, maybe they were just the artsy-fartsy kind of Christians.
Jesus and, loves you.
It was just whimsical biblification.
Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah. And
God bless the USA. You know, we're only a month or so away from that now.
Yeah. But, your burger joint is like my clinic.
And my clinic.
I mean, you know, going for medical care, and there's Christian pop blaring in every room, and there's Bible verses all over, and, you know, they have this policy, you know, basically, you know, if you say fuck or something like that, they're going to discharge you from the practice, and it's insane. It was never like this before. And this is a recent development. You know, this clinic has been around longer than I've been alive.
Well, and I've been going to this clinic for 20 years, and yeah, it got militantized. 5-10 years ago, to the point that, I mean, this is no joke. I mean, Ferg had a bum knee, wound up having surgery on it, and the physician's assistant there prayed over his knee. I want to be careful going down. Ben is in West Virginia. He's in a different part of West Virginia from where I am, but it's the same state, and it's the same rural locality. And so maybe that's a comfort to know that a whole lot of healing takes place between the ears. Or yeah. So I've been told.
Or, you know, or so the, you know, the New Agers would say, you know.
Cowbell for you. You're right. But it's part our fault for not being sufficiently immersed in the I hope
no,
you say no.
Not in my case. I mean, you know, I've been more than immersed. I mean, you know, I've been submerged, you know, pinned to the goddamn seafloor, just drowning in it. I mean, you know, I spent eight years in evangelical equivalent of a madrasa. So, yeah, I know how they operate. I mean, you know, I have nightmares just about every night. Even like flashbacks during the day and stuff. I mean, you know, I'm sure it's probably PTSD just from dealing with those people.
Well, and
so it,
but I have cultural issues that extend even further. So, I mean, you tell me, Devin, where you would be on this. Now, I've mentioned that, you know, Ferg's got a job, you know, he works a morning job. Sometimes he has to be in at 5:30. Other times he has to be in at 8. Well, this was a 5:30 morning. So drop him off. I stop at the Rippy Mart. Just going to grab me a quick cup of decaf, especially since it's, you know, freshly made. And I know, you know, they open at 6. We don't really have any overnight law enforcement, so nobody stays open 24/7. So I'm standing there. Yeah, I mean, you know, because we can't afford it, because Cole keeps the lights on, but not the lights on in the cruiser. There's the larger question that Ron from the Soggy North brought up the other night. To the extent that. Yeah, we've got a budget problem here that is not self-solving, and we're liable to wind up in statewide bankruptcy before long, because the Republicans think more of the sweet and tender promise that they made to Grover Norquist than they do to actually honoring their oath of office. But anyway, so I'm standing there, I'm paying for a decaf, and a guy walks in. He's a white guy. He's a young guy. He's getting himself a can of snuff, and you know I'm a nicotine addict, so I can't exactly be too hard on him for that. But the thing is, he's wearing a black T-shirt, Devin. It's a black T-shirt with the outline of a semi-automatic assault rifle, and on the black T-shirt in the white letters, it says, "All rifles matter." And cold chills ran down my spine, Devin. So here's my question for you. Am I supposed to just look at that and go, ha, 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 that's cute. All rifles matter. All lives matter. That's funny. I don't care who you are. Or was it okay that I wondered if this is the next guy who starts the next NRA death lottery in some small town in West Virginia, or maybe a school or a post office or a Rippy Mart?
I tend to give those the Queen Mab treatment. Just, you know, no longer recognize their existence.
Well, I just cut him a wide berth, because you never know when one of these guys is going to go out to their truck and get their freedom protector and come back in and bloody up some freedom inside the store. Because there's all kinds of stuff on all kinds of T-shirts. Years ago, you turned me on to a sort of Groot T-shirt. I love Groot. And I bought it for Margie, and she was so tickled. We had matching Groot T-shirts. And
it's nice.
And you know, that's cute. And there's the Nike swooshes, and you know, your college here. But when you go so far as to put on a T-shirt that mocks the idea of Black Lives Matter, that mocks the almost limitless number of young black men and children who have been slaughtered in the streets like animals. You're telling me a little something more, Devin, than what college you root for on Saturdays.
Yeah.
I mean,
but you have to realize that, you know, 99.9% of the people who would put on that that shirt are too chicken shit to do anything, you know, ill.
Well, I mean, but Devin, you know, not to disagree to be disagreeable, but the best you can hope in that circumstance is that you hope they are. Because we come back to the fundamental problem, the fundamental Second Amendment problem with all those lawful gun owners. The difference between lawful and awful is one consonant and precisely the distance that the trigger has to travel in order to cause the firing pin to engage and strike, you know, the percussion cap that's built into the shell. And that is a teeny tiny distance. And the only way you know is after the fact. Do you follow my reasoning?
I understand your concern. But, you know, if you haven't guessed, or that, you know, the whole gun control issue is a place that we don't agree and probably never will. That probably comes from, you know, me being born and raised here.
Well, no. I mean, I don't want everybody to give up their guns.
Yeah.
I would like to see some reasonable regulation attached to them. You know, I don't think you should be able to have a bazooka just because you want a bazooka. I mean, I want an M4 Abrams tank. But I don't think I should probably have one. Screw that. I want my own nuclear submarine. But you get the idea.
Well, that would be quite cool.
Up Periscope, yeah. Motherfucker, right? Tell me that wouldn't be awesome. I want a firing solution.
But then,
you know, you talk me down out of the tree and I'm okay. Everybody doesn't have to give up their guns, but it would be nice to make sure that, you know, the ones who really shouldn't have them don't.
But I also know that prohibition tends to bring about more of what you're trying to get rid of.
Oh, prohibition merely creates a market.
Yeah.
A black market.
And there is a very rich market now because everybody's scared out of their little minds because, you know, they've been conditioned to be scared out of their little minds so they don't think. Because, you know,
and that includes the cops. That includes the cops. That's how Tamir Rice winds up dead.
Yeah.
And the cop who killed Tamir Rice just got fired, but he got fired for not doing his paperwork right, not for killing a 12-year-old boy in cold blood.
Yeah. I mean, yes, cop made a horrible decision to murder somebody, but that's not necessarily all on him. You know. That goes back to how that cop was conditioned. And, you know, usually they are ex-military. You know, that's your A number one hiring pool for law enforcement. which is a big problem right there. Because, you know, you take somebody who was, programmed to be the greatest killing machine on earth. And
tell him he's going to now protect and serve.
Their solution is to kill people and break things.
Right, exactly.
You know.
Yeah.
Then you take that person and you say, okay, well, now you're law enforcement and, you got to sort of behave yourself a little bit. And, you know, the programming kicks in and anything happens.
Right.
And then, of course, you know, you have the glories of our so-called civilization, hating black people, you know, systemically, or hating anybody who isn't,
Well, you talk about being afraid. I mean, let me see if I can break this down a little bit. Let's say you are in a dangerous situation. The difference between fight and flight is the essence of human evolution. Agreed? Now let's say you're just doing something prosaic. Say you're just mowing your grass. Weed eating. You know, things you have to do this time of year. And let's say you think, son of a bitch, and you slap your flank, and you think you've been wasp stung. Happens when you're mowing the grass, right?
Yeah, well.
But let's say you pull your hand back and it's covered in blood. And let's say you shut the mower down, you get off, and you get off of it, and you look down, and you think, well, damn, I'm bleeding like a stuck pig. I better go to the doctor. And so when you get to the doctor, you find out that you've actually been shot with a .22 caliber bullet. But it's only gone in a couple of inches, so it didn't reach any vital organs. So they hit you real good with some antibiotics, and they stitch you up, and they send you home with the bullet in a little bottle. That happened last week here. Guy I know.
Yeah.
Just mowing his grass. Gets shot with a .22.
Yeah.
You know, because .22 is just a little gun. I mean, that's the kind of gun you give your four-year-old. Can't really do much damage. Might kill the five-year-old or the two-year-old, but beyond that, you know, I mean, unless they're a real good shot at four.
Yeah.
You get the point. And no idea who did it.
No
idea who did it. You know, just, you know, I think that kind of thing happens in Appalachia.
I got a story for you then.
Okie doke.
One day the satellite TV installer, you know, guy comes by and he's installing stuff, and I happen to be looking at the house and looked like there was a hole in the siding. Looked like, lawnmower throws a rock or something, you know, happens all the time. You know, right next to the window, you know, at the studs, right next to the laundry room window. Like, you know, if it had been a few inches, you know, like 2 inches to the left, it would have went through the window.
And into whomever was sitting near.
And, yeah. But we cut into the hole to see, you know, what was going on in there. And, it turns out it was like a 22 bullet, hit the stud and I guess bounced out. So we couldn't find the bullet. And I know where it come from. And that's pretty obvious. It just came from my neighbor who's dead now. He wasn't in very good shape, and he was out, you know, shooting at something.
Just planking.
But, you know, he was at a point in his life where he was, crashing vehicles into everything and, you know, can't get their license pulled or that kind of thing. You know the drill.
Well, I've told the story of when I was setting up, you know, the children were little, and I was engaged in the hell on earth of trying to put together their swing set. Just don't. Get the one that's got boards and washers, and not the metal ones. Anyway. And I thought something went, bing! And it was close enough that it made my hair blow. Well, it moved my hair. It was 22. It was my neighbor. About a case and a half of Bud Light down the road on a Sunday afternoon, his day off, just planking, just sighting it in.
Yeah.
And at that point in time, I had firearms, and I walked in the door, and I grabbed a pistol. Agnes said, "Where are you going?" I said, "Son of a bitch just squeezed off a round at me." She said, put down the firearm. He's got the drop on you." And I said, "Thank you, oh wise, wise woman and light of my life." And went back out and went back to work on the swing set while Agnes picked up the phone and called the neighbor lady, the wife of the husband who was planking, and said, "Would you kindly ask your husband not to shoot mine? I'd take that real kindly, like." And she said, "What?" She said, "Yeah, he just about blew Bob's brains out a minute ago." And she said, "That stupid little bastard's about half in the bag." Agnes said, "No, I think he's all the way in. And probably doesn't need to be in there with a gun. See if you can interest him in some sex or something, would you?" And so, yeah.
Yeah.
Just another day in West Virginia.
I mean, you know, these things happen, but I don't live in fear of them. But there again, I tend to live by the whole, you know, Frank Herbert bit.
Fear is the mind killer.
And, you know, the rest of the paragraph. So.
Ferg can recite that recite that from memory. I made sure of that years ago. In fact, he was freaking out a little bit about going for this voice audition this weekend. And he was, "Dad, what if I..." And I looked at him and said, "Repeat for me the litany against fear." And just, "I will not fear. Fear is the mind killer. Fear is the little death that brings total oblivion." Yep. Works every time.
See, you know, when everybody else is like running around freaking the fuck out, I'm the dumbass who's still standing there.
Well, I mean, you can't just, you know, go down into the basement and hide. I mean, I've been in between bouts of monsoon season here, Devin. For the last 2 weeks, I've been going as hard at knocking down the acre as I can. But first you have to weed eat, and then you have to mow. And, you know, you just got to do it. You know, you take the precaution. You know, I got my little clear eye protection goggles and stuff, and I put those on, and I wear long pants, and I wear my bib overalls, and hope that maybe, you know, things like copperheads are averse to the sound of 23cc two-cycle engines. Or maybe even more, they hate the exhaust from them. I've run across several skins,
what?
But none with snakes in them.
22cc's, you may as well just use a scythe, Bob.
It's what I got, Devin. Now, damn it, let's not get into a dick measuring contest over weed eaters, okay?
Hey, and I thought somebody stole your weed whacker.
They did. They stole the one that, well, they stole two. I had three. This one got out of the hospital. It's an Echo. They got my Shindaiwas, damn it. I had Shindaiwas from way back. I had one that I kept the world's best brush blade on, which they no longer manufacture, I might add. It's called a tornado blade. It's just a round, solid disc of metal with three chainsaw teeth on it. And that thing would take down trees. So you wouldn't have to fool with a chainsaw. So I just kept that one on that, and I kept string on the Echo, and I kept string on the Shindaiwa, so Ferg and I could go at it, you know, together, and, you know, get twice as much weed eating done. Well, I got my Shindaiwas, and the Echo had to be rehabbed in a big way. So away I go. 23cc's ain't so bad. It'll spin that .095 string. But I did learn an important lesson that I had not heretofore known. I did not realize how bad ethanol is for a two-stroke engine. No matter how properly you mix the oil into the gasoline, if it's 10% ethanol or more, your two-stroke engine gonna die. So I found out you can buy the pre-mixed stuff that's guaranteed no ethanol, and have not had a problem since. But it's the ethanol that did in the Echo in the first place.
Yeah. No doubt.
So we're down to one.
Well, that are being an Echo. No.
Wait. We got some weed eater snobbery going on here. What are you going to be like Ron and tell me about the glories of a steel? Is that what it is?
Yes.
Of course. Well, naturally. And you wouldn't be.
They seem to not have a problem with ethanol for some reason. You know, I think they have some internal lubrication. Not in the form of oil, but
silicone or something like that, maybe. Well, how many cc's do you have, Devin?
I don't, you know what? I don't know what that weed eater is. It's a steel, and it's got little bars on it.
Oh, it's got the two handlebars?
You have to wear it.
Yeah. Oh, that hell, that's not even a weed eater. That's a brush cutter.
Yeah.
That's a bruiser. That'd probably go through my acre like a knife through hot butter.
Yeah. Well, we have the biggest saw that steel makes. It's over 8 horsepower.
Oh, that's for cutting wood for the winter for the furnace. No, you went to coal, didn't you?
Yeah, we went to coal. That was for that before we went to coal. No, actually, it was for use with the Alaska sawmill. there's a system you can use, and special chains that you can use to cut with the grain.
Oh yeah.
And that's how we fixed the building that was collapsed by Sandy.
Jesus, the things we have to put up with here. I got a case of the oh my God, please nose earlier today, when a thunderstorm blew through. The lights blinked once, the lights blinked twice. You know how this goes. The lights blinked three times, and I went, well, it's gone. But mercifully, it came back.
Yeah.
Ferg, meanwhile, said the power had been blinking down in the restaurant all morning long, and he said, my biscuits turned into liquefied goo in the oven. I was like, well, that sounds disgusting. He said, it was.
I have been clearing the right-of-ways up here, strangely enough.
Oh, the Asplund boys?
Yes. Yes, with their little orange wood chippers they pull around.
Yeah.
They dumped a bunch of that stuff up next to the greenhouse last year. Like a mountain of it. Because, we were going to use it as a bioreactor to heat the greenhouse.
Yeah.
Put pipes inside of it and circulate it. But it never got around to it. So there's still a massive pile of ground up everything.
Well, I have a bunch of saplings growing in the acres, so the last step in the process will be taking those little bastards down. Then there is going to be one big-ass bonfire. Kind of looking forward to it. Saplings, tree limbs, marshmallows, roasty toasty. Yeah. Well, Devin, it has been
Just be careful because, you might end up not having to worry about the mansion anymore if you.
Well, no, it's going out on the part of the acre as far away from the mansion as I can get it, and downwind, not up.
Good.
All right. Oh, great. Well, yeah. Okay. Just got a note from Asa. I'm with Team Steel too, Kincaid. Ron from the Unfrozen North has class. You people. Well, Devin, have a good evening, my friend. It's good to hear from you.
You need to put a request out. In addition to the request for money every night, you need to be like the rest of the outfits. Oh, well, we'll take cars.
We're trying to raise $170 this evening, but I'm really worried about the poor folks over at Daily Coast with their noses up against the window pane, needing to raise $16,000 before midnight. I mean, I'm worried. I know.
Oh, I know.
Marcos needs a new Mercedes. The old one's probably a year old by now.
I have about 6,000 emails from these petition people and Daily Coast and Justice Democrats.
Spare me those guys.
All the usual suspects just fill my inbox. And even when you go and just unsubscribe, yeah,
doesn't work.
Oh.
No, they're not. No, Are you sure you want to unsubscribe? Yeah, I know. I know. I've been there. All right, Devin. Well, have yourself a good evening, and you know, be careful out there with the brush cutter. And like a, if it feels like a wasp sting, just will you?
Well, fortunately, I have allergies, so I can't. The mowing.
Oh, you lucky devil.
One silver lining.
Well, I'm trying to take a positive. This is, I keep telling myself, who needs a $100 a month gym member and an acre of weeds?
You need to get rid of the weed eater. Get a scythe.
You need a scythe. To a golf swing, and I've been forbidden by my surgeon.
Uh huh. Okay. Well, you could get it. You could get a, you get down on your hands and knees, and you know.
No, I'm not going to get a sickle until I can get the hammer to go with.
I can find one down at Harbor Freight.
No, but if I get it at Harbor, if I freight, the head of the hammer will come off and hit me in the noggin the first time I try to use it.
I have a friend who buys all that crap, you know, screwdrivers and stuff, and you stick it in the screw, and you know, it goes like a quarter of a turn. You know, before it actually moves the screw, you know, it twists the flat about a quarter of a turn.
I just remember buying one of those little inverter 2,000-watt inverter generators there. Brought it home, cranked it up, dead. it was over. And it almost made a sound as it died that sounded like laughter.
Well, at least they're good about taking the shit back.
You own another one? No. Want a bigger one? No. You own a hammer? Only if I can use it on the inverter. be good, Devin. We'll talk right. Soon. It's been a pleasure. Right. It always is.
Later.
All right. Later. Bye now. Our buddy Devin calling from the quiet zone. In almost level west by Cole Trump Genius Stan. And there it is. Yeah, that idea has also been passed around Texas Tea. Get a goat, Bob! Hey, we thought about that, but have you ever chased down a runaway goat? It's not something that, and around here the dogs would, well, and the coyotes and the rednecks and... You get the idea. So, really, 6 minutes before the hour, we had a fairly simple fundraising goal this evening, $170, and we're still at $170. And we got to hit that $170 in order to nudge the Norsky and lick the Lithuanian. So that's what's on the line as we move toward the end of the program. Let's check in with Scott and Punky. Hey, Scott.
Hey, Bob.
How are you?
How's it going?
Pretty good.
I'm pretty good. Wait a minute. I've got these wires for this crazy headset mixed up, and I'm going to strangle myself, so bear with me.
Okay, I was going to say, you sound fine.
what did he do before he died? He went...
I told you I was sick.
Anyway, yeah. But my grandmother, maternal grandmother, needs to have that on her tombstone. She died about, I don't know, 25 years ago. And my mom and dad got married in 48, I think April of 48. So that, a few years before that was when my dad had met my maternal grandmother, his soon-to-be mother-in-law. And she apparently had a close encounter with the 1918 flu. But managed to survive, but she was never quite the same since, okay? So my dad's comment was, you know, Laura Cady has been dying ever since I've known her, you know? But she didn't learn to drive until she was 65, okay, when my grandfather died. So she ended up getting a car. I forget what – oh, it was a mid-50s Mercury or Lincoln. No, I think it was a Mercury sedan of some sort that had curb feelers. you know, on the back tires.
Oh yeah, yeah, like okay. little antennas that stuck in the fenders.
But I mean, she would tool around town in that thing, and with her little hat on, and the car. I don't know what the real purpose of the button was, but there was a button that when you pressed it, it illuminated green. Okay, like a traffic light. And as kids, we would always ask her, we called her Nanny, and we'd say, Nanny, what does that button do? And we were out driving and stuff, and she said, well, when you press it, it makes the car go faster. So we're going down a parkway, you know, in the greater D.C. area one day, and I said, Nanny, now that we're on the road, can I press the button? So I press the button, and she floored that son of a bitch. You know, we're just tearing down the parkway, you know, like a 25 mile an hour speed limit. And we're probably doing 40, you know,
positive traction, laid two tires worth of rubber. Yeah, got it.
Yeah. Well, and she was that 40 was slow for her. Later on, when she sold that car, she got a what was it? A 61 Ford Falcon, you know, one of those little four-door cars, okay? And I remember one day I was walking down the a large street near the street that I grew up down to 7-Eleven and get a Slurpee. So I'm walking down Braddock Road was the name of it. And coming the other way was Nanny's little 1961 Ford Falcon. And she's got her hat on, her little plastic Jesus looking in at her, you know. She didn't need it looking at the people on the outside. She wanted the Jesus to look in at her, tearing down the road. So I wave, and she's got her hands at 10 and 2 and, you know, her little head hunched over the damn steering wheel and just totally oblivious to anything. But anyway, she was always dying unless she had something to do. And the highlight of her life was she took a 3-week train trip with some of her cronies out all over Canada and the western states and all that, and ended up in California, and they went to a taping of the Lawrence Welk show, okay? And the highlight of her life was getting to dance with Lawrence Welk as the Champagne Music Makers did their thing. So more power to her, I guess.
It's a beautiful thing. That, you know, that could probably be the treatment for a pretty darn good movie.
Sure. Adventures with Nanny. Quite an interesting lady. But anyway, that's not why I called. Why
no,
the hell did?
No, but it certainly made the call more I don't know, what? Personal and more convivial and genial and friendly, family, neighborly like. We tell those kind of stories.
Yeah, it's, you know, just chatting neighbors over the backyard fence is how I like to think of this program. But now, do you still have your DirecTV now?
Yes, I do.
I am this close, and I'm making a little 3-millimeter thumb and forefinger gesture. I'm about this close to canceling
to
that
telling
son
them to
of
stuff
a bitch.
It.
Yeah, because it seems to be working just wonderfully, except this 72-hour rewind feature, which was one of the main reasons I got this service 6 months ago, was apparently on certain channels you can go back 72 hours and watch something that you missed. Now, how hard is that to do, okay? You're basically talking about content that's in a cloud somewhere, and you press the right buttons, and you can watch it, like you can, say, on YouTube or Netflix or Amazon Prime. It's tried and true technology. You'd have to get up 2 hours early every day trying to figure out a way to fuck it up. But somehow or another...
Wait a minute.
Somehow or another, the geniuses at AT&T and DirecTV Now have committed themselves to getting up that early and maybe earlier to fuck this thing up to a fare-thee-well. And for a long time, it didn't work hardly at all. And then it wasn't available for about 6 or 8 weeks. And then it came back and worked fine for a short time, just a little magic.
Yeah, and you know what's driving it? Okay, so there's another functionality of the DirecTV now.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I watch on a tablet, okay?
Yeah.
And so down at the bottom, there's a string of other channels so that you can just push the button, you can just tap the screen, and boom, you go to the other channel.
Yeah.
And that's really handy because, for my viewing habits, it's a pretty short list. It's MSNBC, it's CNN, it's C-SPAN, ESPN, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, sometimes it's there and sometimes it's not, and there is nothing in the settings that tell you how to make it appear.
Yeah. Well, the other day, like this morning, in the wee hours after I watched 77 Sunset Strip on Antenna TV, I had been watching my news feed on the laptop, and they mentioned that there's this huge explosion in Afghanistan, 80 killed and...
Yeah, I noticed that.
Badly injured.
Right. 300 injured.
So, okay, so by this time, it's 5 o'clock my time, which is what, 8 o'clock Eastern time. Well, from 5 to 5:30, 8 to 8:30, Morning Joe replays the first half hour of the show. Apparently, they're all tuckered out by that time in the proceedings.
So and then they come back for the last half hour. I've noticed that as well.
Yeah. So there's, you know, they're talking about Trump's tweet and all this other happy horse shit. And I'm thinking, well, I want to see something about this explosion and find out what that's about. Okay. So I go down the guide on the DirecTV Now to CNN, and there's the logo, but there's nothing written in the programming box. And I'm thinking, well, what the hell is this? So I restart my device, which is the Apple TV streaming device, page up to CNN, logo, but no programming. And when you press where the programming listing would be, nothing happened. So I worked a way around it and finally got CNN. And they weren't talking about the explosion either. So I said, fuck it. But the latest trouble on the 72-hour rewind is the one that pisses me off the most. I only use it to catch a TCM movie that I missed because they play good movies uninterrupted and unedited. Okay, the other night I wanted to watch Cool Hand Luke. I got about 45 minutes into it when the picture freezes, but the audio continues.
Yeah, I've experienced that too.
Yeah, so I started again. Same point in the movie, the picture freezes, and the audio continues. And I said, well, I'm ever the optimist. Let's try this sucker again. Oh, and you can't rewind, okay, or fast forward. If you hit the rewind thing, it goes back to the very start of the movie. You know, more genius at work here. So I tried it again, and it was still the same thing. Well, the other night, last night, I guess, I tried it again with Run Silent, Run Deep, I think it was.
Good movie.
Okay, same bullshit. And this is like the 6th or 8th or 10th or 12th time. I've lost track of these fucking movies on TCM on this 72-hour rewind.
Yeah, you wonder, is it a TCM thing or is it a DirecTV Now thing?
Well, when I reported it, I finally said I've had enough of this and got online with their supposed tech support via text, okay, which I may as well have talked to the cat, okay, for all the good it did. Oh, it'll be reported. Oh, we'll look into it. Oh, we're sorry.
We're terribly, terribly, terribly unable to help you.
Well, they have plenty of regret that I'm not happy and it's not working right, but I would trade 3/5 of the regret that they feel, and
for 10% of a solution.
Exactly. So, and I have even gone to the president of
AT&T. The customer service is so 20th century.
But yeah, so I mean, I'm just almost at the point where I'm ready to say screw it, because I never got rid of my AT&T U-verse, which is my TV and internet cable, so to speak. But what I did was I kept the internet as it was, but I cut back to just the bare minimum for TV, basically HBO and my local channels, okay? Because terrestrial TV is hard to get, what with our terrain out here. It's probably worse there. But so anyway, I'm talking to the guy at AT&T U-verse the other day, and he's locked me in for another year at a good rate for what I currently have. And then it dawned on me, for the $35 a month that I'm paying for DirecTV Now that has no DVR, I can probably get the next tier up that I used to have of my AT&T U-verse cable service and get all of my channels and a DVR and service, which is proven to work. I mean, I've had it for like 8 years. So I'm looking at that. So there won't be any net savings, but, you know, at least I will have the satisfaction of knowing when I turn it on, the thing will work.
But you know, anyway, I can't fault you for any of this. I'm sorry, I'm a little distracted right now.
Oh, okay.
There is a spider on the ceiling of the studio that looks like it's a tarantula in training.
Ooh.
It's about the size of a quarter. But it's unless it's one of those perilous jumping, hillbilly jumping spiders, it and I are not in close proximity, and it seems to be on its own mission, and I'm thinking I'm going to let her live with the hope that maybe she has a taste for stink bugs.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know if y'all have y'all dealt with the stink bug thing in California?
I don't know that I've ever seen
her. These things are disgusting.
Yeah, I've heard. I've heard they're awful.
And it's not like, you know, you're a poor housekeeper or, you know, you have bad domestic skills. You just have stink bugs.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I'm just sitting here watching. Any prospects? I mean, and you know, does a stink bug stink when a spider kills it? I want to know that, too. I mean,
well, I guess if the thing that triggers it is the breaking of the shell or whatever, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, apparently it would be where the spider bites and how quickly it can consume.
Well, I'm trying to be really, really, you know, really, really good and zen about this. So, you know, and it hasn't leapt at me or anything. And it's a long way to go to try to get at it with a disposable coffee cup or something, because that's usually the treatment we give them.
Well, usually the hose with the extension on your vacuum is good for faraway bugs.
Oh, we used to have to do that with not the pretty little red ladybugs that you love to have in your garden.
Yeah.
But the nasty orange other ladybugs that like to live in your walls. Agnes used to fill up the canister on the vacuum cleaner with those little bastards.
That's and there used to be that company, what was it, Smarter Image?
Sharper Image.
Little, Sharper Image, yeah. That had a little battery-powered, rechargeable, handheld vacuum. It was like a leaf blower, but in reverse, that had a cone on the end, and it was marketed as the ideal, safe, easy, and quick bug catcher. So it's one of those things I wish I'd have thought of that. But the other, that's my DirecTV adventure. And I, you know, I'll give them, let's see, my billing period is the new month kicks in at June 7th, I think. And I'll
on the same cycle. I think I get billed around maybe the 10th or something.
Yeah. And I'll work with them. I mean, they've come a long way, but they still have not gotten that 72-hour thing figured out. And
it's my only recourse, so they can just about do anything to me they want to, short of not having it work at all, and I'm going to be okay.
Yeah, well, I feel for you, because Well, I mean, we have
$40 bucks is a far cry from $140.
Oh yeah, definitely. But I don't know. The other thing I want to mention, you were mentioning your close encounter with the redneck Bible thumping burger joint and the milkshake and the messages. We've got this chain of restaurants out here called In-N-Out.
Yeah, I was thinking about it because they're kind of Jesus-y too, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. There's Revelation verse on the bottom of their container of fries, and I think on their other packaging as well. And I forget what the verse is. Probably.
And their tongues did rot inside their heads, and their eyeballs fell out of their sockets.
Pardon me. Don't get me started. It's not the cough that carries you off. It's the coffin they carry you off in.
But you're not getting. Anyway. I'm sorry. You're not. You're not getting a cowbell for that, Scott.
All right. That's all right. Mm-hmm. I've had my cowbell for today. I have dined sufficient. You know, but anyway, before I got out here and as I arrived back in 2000, everybody used to rave about In-N-Out, In-N-Out, In-N-Out. And I thought they were talking about screwing at first. And then I found out it was about this burger joint that supposedly had wonderful burgers and you could ask for them a certain way. And if you knew a certain code, you could get them another certain way and all this happy crappy. So I said, okay. I've had enough. Stow the commercial. Take me to In-N-Out, and I will find out for myself just how magnificent these burgers are. I was not impressed. I wasn't even close. I wasn't within hailing distance of being impressed. And maybe it was a bad day for the joint or whatever, but nothing to write home about. Give me a hell of Wendy's.
Give me a real, honest to God truck stop cheeseburger.
Yeah, like a no name generic burger. But
as the band Brownsville Station once described it in a song called Martian Boogie, one of them grease bombs all peppered up lay you up in the hospital for 10 days.
That's called Martian Boogie.
Martian Boogie.
That reminds me of, I can't think of the guy's name. I think he had three names, and he was a hell of a guitar player, and I think he was killed in a helicopter crash about 20 years ago. But he had a song, Hillbillies from Outer Space. It was instrumental.
Well, since you've never heard of it before, let me, I just found it. Stand by.
Oh, okay.
I think we're going to have an ad first. Yes, it's Doogie Howser for Heineken Beer. Okay, and skip ad. Yeah, the name of the band's Brownsville Station.
Okay.
I think they're the same guys who gave us Smoking in the Boys' Room.
Oh, wow.
From an album that also featured songs like Hot Spit, Sleazy Louise, Lady Put the Light on Me, Lover, Mr. Johnson Says, Throw Me a Lifeline, Rockers and Rollers, My Friend Jack, Ain't That a Shame, and then the album ended with The Martian Boogie. It's a whole lot of intro to do the weather over there, Scott. You being an old radio hand, you'd get that.
Yeah.
Like those 45-second intros. 51 seconds. We're up to an over a minute intro.
Getting kind of hungry, I decided to get me something to eat. Now I passed up all the chain franchise joints on Hamburger Row and stopped at a little greasy spoon place I always eat at called Eat. Sit and go. Get you one of those greasy hamburgers all peppered up, lay you up in the hospital for 10 days. So I ordered me up a couple of them grease bombs. Waitress brought them over, lifted up the bun, checked them out. Damn, no kidding. So I nudged the guy sitting next to me at the counter. I said, hey, partner, how about passing the ketchup over? Suddenly, this little bitty green hand holding a ketchup bottle came into view. And I freaked. Because the guy sitting next to me was a Martian.
You get the idea.
Oh, yeah. That was great. The first part of that, the instrumental and the first little bit, sounded like it would fit perfectly in a Quentin Tarantino movie, depending on the movie, of course.
Well, I thought it had a little bit of a flavor of some George Thorogood as well.
Yeah. By the way, the artist I was trying to think of was Stevie Ray and Jimmy Vaughn. The album was Family Style, and the cut that I mentioned was Hillbillies from Outer Space. And
okay.
That's worth your time if you want to check it out, baby. Come on. Get your self together and listen to that thing.
It turns out this band was formed in Ann Arbor, Michigan in 1969, and you can kind of hear that in the lead singer's voice, can't you? He's kind of got that Ted Nugent-y sound, that really sharp, long eye.
A lot of good stuff came out of Ann Arbor. Isn't that where Students for Democratic Society began?
You got me on that.
I don't mean their later incarnation when they went batshit crazy. I mean their initial declaration, like 62 or 64, I forget the name of it. If I find it, I'll email it to you. But it was really it was a words to live by kind of thing for America, and especially American youth in the very early 60s. And it would have been worth a try if it hadn't smacked up against the vested interests of the establishment. It might have been a workable arrangement if everybody could have jumped on board and said, this is a worthy idea, let's try this. Wait a minute. I'm going to look it up to get the title, because it's worth watching.
Okay, and by the way, Asa is recommending to you YouTube TV. If it's available in your neck of the woods. He said $35 a month, allows up to 6 users under one account, 3 of which can watch simultaneously. Also has rock solid DVR.
I'm on their mailing list. It's not available in San Diego yet, but I'm expecting to hear at some point, when they do. I'm looking on the listing here for SDS, and if you'll stay with me, I'll tell you what that manifesto was. I know we hate dead air, but...
That's okay.
Well, I'm sorry, I can't find it. I'll send it to you, and if you've never read it, read it.
Okay. By the way, since we're doing recommendations and things like that, Scott...
Yeah,
I should let people know that Netflix right now is running a mountaintop removal documentary called Blood on the Mountain.
Ooh, okay.
It is quite watchable, and I recommend it.
Thank you for that. Have you gotten around to watching Get Me Roger Stone yet?
I have started. I have not finished because there's a certain ick factor to Roger Stone that's just kind of tough to get over.
I know. I found that to be true the first 20 minutes, but then when they were listening,
and since I do a lot of my watching right before sleep, I don't want that evil fucker in my subconscious when I try to lay my head down.
Yeah, spider in the studio in the daytime is one thing, but creepy crawlies in your dreams.
Exactly. And the spider is now directly above the photograph of the drive-by truckers. And so far seems perfectly happy where she is.
Now,
go find a stink bug, honey.
When you say this spider is the size of a quarter, does that include the legs?
Well, she's not at full extension. I mean, she's the size of a nickel, not at full extension. She goes full extension, she's a quarter.
Oh, Lord.
Marty says, good thing it's closer to you than me. I'm very, very arachnophobic. It's a two cans of Raid per arachnid type of arachnophobia. Oh, yeah, we'd all be fogged right out of the room. You were going to say?
No, where does she sleep? And the answer, obviously,
anywhere she wants.
Well, let's see. Does that catch me up? Ranting and raving about DirecTV Now. But the In-N-Out, they're another of those companies that gets a little preachy. And I learned a couple of years ago, when I first moved out here, I discovered a burger. But then a few years later, I read they were heavy GOP financial.
Same thing.
Yeah, they merged several years ago, but before they were like standalone. But I make it ever possible not to patronize those types of companies.
But, you know, it's a little easier to avoid the Christian traditions.
Yeah. That's true.
You know, Wendy's is balls to the wall right wing. Can't stand McDonald's. I don't know about Arby's, but God, you go to Arby's and order a meal, you might as well go to a sit down restaurant. It costs you.
Yeah.
And you know, even the little mom and pop joints, just the way things are. I mean, my favorite to be had. During a limited set of Florence, Alabama, down in the old part of Florence, East Florence, and it's called Staggs's Grocery, and I'm sure those are some serious Trump voters.
Yeah. Do you have White Castle?
I don't have crystals either, and if we had crystals, I would probably be back. I'd be in the hospital or something because I can knock down a bag of crystals.
Well, before I moved out here, I was living in a condo I had in Cincinnati, but just near the very edge of it. And I forget what the next town over was. But I was still driving back then, and about a four-minute drive from where I was living was a White Castle that was open all night. And I'm telling you, Bob, I would get in the car, and I would tool on up there and get me a bag of those bad boys and come on home. And at the time, I had, I had two cats at that time, a Siamese, Missy, and my calico, Michi, who she came out here and died 2 years ago, and she was 20. But Michi used to love it when I would go to White Castle. Missy didn't care one way or another, but Michi, unless I would break off a little piece of that White Castle with a little cheese on top, I could be her friend forever if I did that. But if I didn't, it was like, don't even look at me. That's what I like about cats. They leave no confusion as to where you stand when it comes to kitty cats.
Oh, no. And it's one or the other. I mean, I try to, you know, well, we got one, and then we wound up with the second one. The second one is still a kitten, but, you know, she's grown up from, you know, the little ball of fluff stage, and just ornery as hell. She was feral, so she's still learning to live in with civilized human beings, or we're trying to live with her, and she's the civilized one. But just an absolute, an absolute mess. Meanwhile, the Siamese, Mushu, otherwise known as Mocha, is indifferent to all things.
Yes.
The little black cat, however, will crawl across ground glass for a little bit of warm biscuit from where Ferg works. Oh, okay. Irish Dave pointing out that SDS was the Port Huron statement.
Okay. Yeah, that rings a bell.
Came out of Michigan since Walter Reuther was a founder. Okay. Yeah. Of course, when I hear Port Huron statement, I immediately think of that line from The Big Lebowski. I was one of the original authors of the Port Huron Statement. Not the compromise second draft.
You know, I've never seen that film, and I think it's on HBO. I need to fire up the app.
You've never seen The Big Lebowski?
I have never seen it. It's one of those deals. There are several movies that I was
somewhere in New York City. Brother Usher Steve has just gone into full on sweat condition alpha conniptions.
Well, I will watch it tonight. I will watch it and I'll give a full report next time I call. But one more thing about cats, and this is weird.
Just remember, just one thing to remember.
Yeah.
We are all Lebowski little urban achievers.
Okay. I'll mark that down in my cranial Rolodex for reference as I watch. I've heard it's a wonderful movie. And I love
there was Brother Usher Steve who immediately This is how you tell how much buffering time people have. I immediately got upon Port Huron statement, I immediately get an email from Steve that says, not the compromise second draft.
Yeah. Well, you guys apparently are quite fluent in Lebowski.
You're liable to be, too. It's really, if it speaks to you at all, you will be.
Well, I'm that way with Fire Sign Theater lines from their album.
Well, this is like that. I mean, it just makes its way into your life. Like, you know, when I look at Ferg and say, God damn it, Ferg, there are rules. This is not Vietnam. You'll get it. or my Margie looking at me and saying, shut the fuck up, Donnie. It gets into your life. That's all I can say.
All right. Well, I will make this pledge. I will watch it, if not tonight, certainly before the end of the week.
Okay, it's kind of like Todd and the Kaneka report. We'll have to have a report, say, by Friday on the front porch.
Yeah, I'll put on my Siskel and Ebert outfit. I don't know which one I'll be. I'm probably physically I am a little portly, like
Roger.
And I'll give you the full report.
But you're snotty like Gene Siskel. Is that what you're saying?
Some would say, yes, that
Nihil nisi bonum. Come on.
Well, see, here's the deal. I mean, I don't mean to come across that way. It just happens that I show up that way for certain people who are, you know, they wake up with the idea of me happening to them, okay, in such a way. I'm not responsible for how I show up for someone, because that's all in their expectations or their mind or their beliefs or whatever the fuck it is. And if I show up for them in a way that doesn't work for them, is it incumbent on me to show up differently? Well, yeah. But then again, where does that occur? Does that occur on my end of the equation or on their end of the equation? Because the business of showing up is occurring between their ears. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It does.
I don't mean to wax.
No, but by the way, Brother Deacon Asa has joined the choir, asking, "Why are you even living, Scott? Haven't seen Lebowski?"
Well, that's a question that I ask about 3 days out of any month. Any given month, I will ask myself, I'll look at myself and I'll say, self, why are you living?
And then you have problems with DirecTV Now, and you understand that your purpose in life is to fix DirecTV Now for all of us suffering souls.
Well, somewhere in a previous life, I don't know, was I a mass murderer? Was I a genocidal maniac ruling some country? I mean, I think I told you once, some years ago, I had a very vivid dream that suggested to me that I had lived before and was executed. And I don't know what I had done or not done, but it was in an electric chair, and I didn't have a real fix on the time frame, but I'm guessing it was the 1930s or maybe 1940s. And that is really something interesting to wake up from.
We will not go into Bob's catalog of nightmares right now, because again, I don't want to set up the DVR that is my mind for any of those, because
Then again, aren't some of your dreams highly entertaining? They could be TV series or movies.
Oh, they're the phrase I call them mind movies. But yeah. I wake up exhausted because I've been paying so much attention. It's like trying to pay attention in physics class at night.
Yeah.
And you wake up and you're like, "Oh, why did I bother sleeping? That was interesting."
Or the other thing is you're having a spectacularly interesting dream, okay? And you kind of stir in your sleep, not fully waking up, but becoming more awake than asleep. And then you roll back over the other way, hoping like hell to pick it up where it left off, and it never does.
And it's gone. Yeah, unless it's something really awful with like chainsaws and then you're right back in it.
Yeah, or a giant.
No. The real character indicator for me is when I'm in the middle of a really, really good dream, just happy, pleasant, joyful. Usually it involves a Porsche or a motorcycle that I've never had.
Yeah.
And just ripping down the road, just happy as can be, not running over any bunnies or turtles or anything, just happy.
Yeah.
I'll get so far into that dream and some other part of my fucking subconscious will say, you know, this isn't real, right?
Yeah.
You know, this is a dream.
Yeah.
This is a dream. Wait till the blonde shows up.
Yeah.
And then boom. Yeah. And yeah, it's a dream. And wake up. And thanks. You know, thanks a million, me.
Well, let me leave you with this notion. And I forget where I read this, but it was a couple of years ago. Apparently, according to people who have done research on such things, when you're having a dream and it's populated by multiple characters, in reality, you are every one of those multiple characters.
They're all me. Even if they're recognizably somebody else, they have to be all me because I'm the only one in there.
Well, yeah, but what is that? There's a website that is fairly reliable, as I understand it. The Dream Dictionary or Dream Analyzer. I think if you Google dream interpretation, it's like the top result, and you type in the object or the topic or the whatever, and it tells you possible interpretations of what that is when it shows up in your dream.
I don't think I want to know.
Well, It is quite interesting. I've had some dreams in recent months that were real puzzlers with stuff in them that just made no sense at all to my conscious self. But I looked at some of the key elements of the dream and kind of pieced together what the possible meaning and significance could have been. And on some level, there's a very healing, or if not that, informative quality to that information, because your subconscious conscious will take you a long way if you're wise enough to listen to it. I mean, you look at the, you know, the Native Americans. They were big believers in the significance of dreams, both prophetic dreams and informative dreams, in terms of what to do and what
well,
not
to
do.
Well, many ancients, I mean, the Romans, the God knows, you know, you've got the story of Joseph interpreting Pharaoh's dream in Genesis.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, in some ways, maybe there are elements. I have yet to see any part of my... You remember that skit they used to do on Saturday Night Live? Christopher Walken would do it, where he was the—I think it was Christopher Walken—where he was the guy who predicted really mundane shit, and he was absolutely accurate about it. Tomorrow, you're going to go into the deli, and you're going to order a lox and bagel. And then, da-da-da! I get some of that via deja vu. I'll dream really ordinary stuff, and then I'll see mm-hmm. the ordinary stuff 2, 3, 4, 5 weeks, a year later, and go, oh, I remember dreaming that. Okay, you have really gotten under the fingernails of the Horn Family Community Congregation.
I usually do.
Subject line, Big Lebowski, Kitty in Boston. For fuck's sake, Ben Gazzara's in this one. Save your immortal soul. See this film immediately.
And I love Ben Gazzara.
Yes. And
well, I will definitely watch it tonight.
And the production numbers. There's a production number. With Kenny Rogers.
Oh, God. How have I missed this? You're right. Huh? You fool. How could you do
You have
yourself?
Wasted. I mean, this film came out in the 90s, Scott.
No wonder my drab and wretched life is so drab and wretched. Jesus.
See?
What a fool. What a fool I've been.
It's all been for naught.
Waldo.
Scott, have yourself. Where's Punky?
Oh, Punky is on his perch in his house. Head on his shoulder with both eyes closed, and if you listen carefully, he may even be snoring. No, he's not the snorer, but he is having a nap.
Okay, just making sure. Wanted to make sure he wasn't in the freezer or anything.
He must be part cat, because as he's gotten older, he sleeps. Except when I don't want him to.
He's pining.
Yeah, pining for the fjords.
He's not,
well, just so he does not join the choir invisible anytime soon.
Right.
I mean, he's a sweet
little guy.
Well, at least
unlike the avian sheep, he is capable of perching.
Yeah.
So, good for that. Scott, have a good evening, my friend.
You too. Take care.
Bye now. Bye. You know, in a world in which madness seems to be the order of the day, sometimes these things are healthy. I had a note, as a matter of fact, and I did not do this deliberately, but it's just the way members of the Horn Family Community Congregation sense things. I had a note from Sylvia last night. I don't know if it's me or what, Sylvia wrote, but we've all got to get back into our groove of hearing from the regulars, the caller with Punky, Scott, and the fellow with the big dog, that would be Laurel, and the tomato and squash grower who resales us with his planting schedule, that'd be Roger. I think we're just about trumped enough for a while. I'll send you some of my garden photos and food pictures, that'll cheer you, and they did. Sylvia makes a mean-looking peach cobbler. fresh fruit from my niece's tree, sweet and delicious. Cocozelle zucchini, prolific, fabulous texture. Thank you, Sylvia. Thank you very much. And things have gotten things have gotten somewhat better in the attempt to make it to the end of May and lick the Lithuanian and nudge the Norsky. Thank you very much to Charlene. And thank you super kindly to John. Between them, we now have $105 to go to finish May. The long division, my ciphering's no good on that, but that's what remains. And hopefully, in the next 18 minutes or so, or at worst, the next 3 hours and 18 minutes, that 105 will be knocked down. And, bill paying. So thank you, Charlene. And thank you, John. Thank you both very, very kindly. And hopefully you'll get some company along the way. Why, look, I think it's Jim. Hey, Jim.
Hey, how you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm fine as frog hair, I think.
That's good. So what's been going on tonight in your program?
A little bit of everything. We're just kind of trying to decompress from the madness that surrounds us.
Well, you're going to have one hell of a chamber to get into. It looks like Trump is trying to hold his own ground and circle the wagons. But, you know, I look at it this way. If we lose Trump, who do we get? Probably somebody worse than Trump.
Well, you get, well, unless it's an impeachment situation and we get a twofer out of it, you get Pence. Now, I can make an argument. I can make a political argument, Jim, that there are enough members of the House majority who actually hate Paul Ryan that could be a little interesting thing to see that sucker elevated to the presidency.
Oh God! I mean, you know, he scares me. Eddie Munster. I mean, there are three people I would like to see go: Trump, Pence, and Ryan, because they have as much compassion for people as a fire hydrant.
Well, I agree, but and the thing that I've been hammering on lately and trying to make sure that we get all the way down to the ground on is that we make a grave mistake, Jim, if we assume that everything that's coming at us is strictly a matter of Donald Trump being president. Okay, he's an egomaniac. He's arguably demented. He may be afflicted with tertiary syphilis. It may be the Alzheimer's kicking in. He ain't home, okay? I mean, the guy was up all night last night tweeting to the point that he was inventing words. Covfefe, C-O-V-F-E-F-E. He tweeted that.
You know, I wonder what those tweets were, but nobody would ever say anything about them. I had the sound off, and I saw
He was trying to make some point about how unfairly he's been treated by the media. And I don't know if he just fell asleep while he was twooping. That's tweeting while pooping.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
He's mad as a March hare. There's no getting around it. Okay.
Well, he's always talking about the media. They're fake news. Well, I hate to tell the son of a bitch, the media is partially responsible for him being in there by giving him over $1 billion worth of coverage over a 5 month period.
Multi-billions, yeah. But just to return to the theme, Jim, we make a grave mistake if we think that he's the source of all our ills. What you see in, for instance, the healthcare nightmare. Right. That's not Trump. That lying narcissistic sociopathic freak promised his mouth-breathing, knuckle-walking followers that he wasn't going to touch their Social Security or their Medicare or the Medicaid. Of course, he was lying like a rug the whole time because that's all he does. He's a grifter, just like he lied to the people that he grifted money out of with Trump University. I mean, how you could vote for that man knowing that, you know, he did Trump University, okay? I don't know. But,
well, I mean, go back to his dealings in real estate. I mean,
right, it's all there. But the point is, the stuff that the healthcare stuff, the LGBTQQQ stuff, all of it is directly out of the Republican playbook. So you're going to have to deal with it with President Pence, President Trump, or President Ryan. But now I will offer the caveat, though, that, you know, I got a $5 bill that says that he's still president on January the 20th, 2021. Because the Republican, John McCain, yeah, I just simply don't approve of this. Well, do something about it, John. You know,
they're not going to.
Until, you know, because until John McCain does something besides flap his old gums, he's as useless as any of the rest of them, and as complicit, Jim.
I think so, too. I mean, you know, McCain's got some shady things in his history. Remember that thing that he was supposedly involved in some kind of bribe situation? I can't remember exactly what it was.
Oh, but no, I mean, you're talking about the Keating Five.
Yeah, Keating
Five.
The
savings and loan scandal.
Yeah, Silverado and all that stuff.
He was up to his eyeballs in it.
But if he can survive that, Donald Trump can survive.
But all of this evil bullshit that they're perpetrating is just the long culmination of their wish list that they've been putting together since they commissioned Ronald Reagan to put it into action for them. You know, there's no difference between talking about people eating too much on food stamps and Ronald Reagan prating on about welfare queens, okay? I mean, the assault on the environment. You know, Donald Trump's going to abrogate the Paris Climate
Accords,
and we have every single fucking Trump voter out there to thank for it. You know, for poisoned water, poisoned air, and an increasingly uninhabitable planet. Thank you, Trump voters, so much. But the fact of the matter is, do you remember a guy named James Watt, Jim?
Watt. Yeah, I do, but I can't.
Crazy kooky old bastard that Reagan made the Secretary of the Interior.
He was
no different than Scott Pruitt at EPA or Ryan Zinke or any of these other freaky frauds.
He didn't last very long in that position, did he?
No, but the operating philosophy did. Christine Todd Whitman at the EPA, remember her?
Yeah, I do.
Telling the people who had breathed all that filth trying to rescue the dead and the injured and recover the dead and the ruins of 9/11 that shit was safe to breathe. Well, that evil old bag is no different from Scott Pruitt. And then, of course, there's the guy on the Supreme Court, Neil Gorsuch. His mama was the first member of the cabinet cited for contempt of Congress. And she was the EPA administrator, and she was cited for contempt of Congress because of her contempt for the ability of people, human beings, to live in a poisoned world. So, I mean, I'm not getting strident at you, Jim.
Oh, I know. We've had too many conversations. It's all for emphasis. I can understand that.
But if we pretend that this is all just a direct result of Trump, we probably put ourselves in a worse position than we are already in.
Well, he's a symptom, not a cause. That's for sure. It's symptomatic that a man like that can be in the White House and that the for-profit media could help propel him to. Because I can remember every night during the election that he was haunting with his rowdy friends, and they were, you know, he got more coverage than anybody in the world. And, you know, and now he talks about them doing fake news. Well, I hate to tell him, but I think they've been in that practice a long time when they put him on the air so much, or when some six-digit figure head in CNN or other program or other channels had him on regular TV. You know what I'm saying?
Well, exactly. So by way of just trying to figure out where the hell we are, as I pointed out last night, you know, I'd like to think, you know, gosh, we can, all we got to do is throw out the Republicans in the House and get a majority in the House, and we can at least slow down some of this nonsense. We can.
Well, I would hope so. Yeah.
We can't stem the tide, but we can wall off the flood.
That's kind of like putting rods into a nuclear reactor to slow it down. Exactly. I know what you're saying.
But the problem is, from where I stand and from what I'm seeing and what I'm observing, the odds are pretty long against that, Jim. Not based upon the numbers, but based upon that old aphorism first coined by Will Rogers. I am not a member of an organized political party. I am a Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he said that for laughter and effect back in the 1920s or 1930s.
Funny.
It ain't funny anymore because it's so goddamn real.
Basically, what that phrase equates to is the denouement of the Democratic Party. And the Republicans are still in lockstep, and, you know, with their doing their goose step or whatever the hell they do it, and, you know, that's exactly where they are. And Democrats don't have sense enough to realize that, so they're going to have to.
Well, I mean, there are some...
I mean, this last election, when all these people voted for these miscellaneous fucking candidates, like, I can't remember her name. Nobody can probably remember her name.
Oh, who, dumbass Jill Stein?
Yeah. I mean, you know... If they had any sense, and I'm not trying to offend anybody, if I do, well, I'm sorry. If anybody did vote for her, it was a protest vote. It was a vote for Donald Trump.
It was a vote for Donald Trump. That's the bottom line.
But
let's understand, there are people who are out there who are trying to get to the bottom of driven conduct in the Trump. You know what they get for their trouble from a certain quadrant of so-called progressives and liberals. Oh, he's just a neoliberal shill. He's just another one of those DNC party hacks.
Oh yeah.
Well, how in the living hell, Jim? Problem with people draining away any hope of a solution.
Well, I hate to tell you, the chances of any partial solution are quite dim, and. Again, stupidity has a habit of getting it.
And well, it does.
And that seems to be the watchword, what I've always called D.C., the Forbidden City.
And the funny thing is, it's the people inside the Forbidden City who actually know how government works, who are trying to stem some, who are trying to push back against some of the damage. And, you know, that is disturbing. The other thing is that when you talk about stupid getting its way, well, quite often the handmaiden of stupid is mean. And when you get the combination of mean and stupid, you get Trumpansies.
They are extremely hostile, aggressive. And there's you know, politics used to be fairly decent in a certain respect. But now it has gotten so coarse and just so hateful that a lot of good people have just turned away from it, and they just don't want to even watch the TV or watch the news anymore. And that's how these people can get their way and get into power. It's when good people who really would not like to see this are just so turned off by everything. And I've talked to a lot of people who've said, I just didn't vote. I didn't vote for either one. I stayed home that day. I stayed at work that day. And that's how it happens. this has happened before in history. You know, it has.
It has.
And so, I mean, as far as, Bob, I'll tell you, this is, talk about this as the Gordian knot, you know? And I guess...
And it's, I don't know that we've got sword enough to hack away at it, because we know how Alexander solved the problem. Jim, well, I got to get out of here because we're right up against the wall, but I've enjoyed talking to you this evening. I'm glad you called in.
All right, you take care and have a good evening.
All right, and bye now.
Good night, sir.
Our buddy Jim calling from not too awfully far away. We've got a couple of minutes remaining. Let me see here. Silent R. Lamar has been itching to get into the conversation. Let's see if he, because I got a couple of minutes left, and let's see if we can get him into the mix. Maybe not. I think I smell stink bug. I wonder if my spider friend has gone to work on it. So, just not enough. There's not enough time to jump into another story. So, hey, one note though. What have you not had to deal with this evening? What have we not had to deal with this evening? There hasn't been a lick of buffering. Not a bit. Let's just say, problem solved. And if you didn't pop into the chat room this evening, you'll probably never get to see Brain in the chat room. He made a pest of himself, and midweek utility infielder, substitute moderator Steve from Georgistan kept a gentle hand on the band laser, but eventually when Brain started getting nasty he had to be kicked. All right, this might be Silent R. Lamar over on the stress line. Is that you, Lamar? Lamar. Oh, well. I know we're connected. Hang on. Seemed pretty obvious that nothing was going to happen with the stress line. Some works for some, not for others. Don't know why. Lamar, I'm terribly, terribly sorry. I got to get out of here. So I'll hopefully maybe we can chat tomorrow as a brand new month dawns upon us. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for all you do to keep everything going. Daggummit, I know I'm overtime right now, but... hey, Lamar.
Hello there.
Yeah, there you are.
I'm here.
Yeah. You said give me 3 minutes.
I'm going to make it real quick. Everybody in the chat room did a wonderful job with Brain or Brian, whatever the fuck he calls himself.
Yeah.
You know, you guys had me so fired up on everything else, but you know, at the end of your show, I'm gonna have to call in tomorrow.
Oh, that'd be just fine, because we're kind of out of time this evening.
I know you are, so I'll call in, and I have to tell Steve from Georgistan, I'm still in AAA, man. I haven't got to the point to being on the front porch, okay?
All righty then. Lamar, you
okay,
take care.
Guys.
We'll talk soon.
We'll talk tomorrow.
Bye now. Okay, so a couple of people tell me there was a little bit of buffering. Well, I think we can probably sort that out and get it down to zero pretty quick. Anyway, we're out of here. I want to thank everybody who jumped in to help this evening. We finished We finished the evening's fundraising. We nudged the Norsky. We licked the Lithuanian. And thank you to Fab for providing the last push over the line. By way of making things even better, I had a note from Brother Deacon Asa saying if somebody will pony up $25, he'd match it. I'm sorry I didn't get to that earlier. Anyway, it's 2 minutes past nine. I got to get out of here. Y'all have a wonderful evening. And always, always. Well, thank you, Steve. Thank you, Steve, from Georgia Stan, substitute, midweek, utility, infielder, moderator. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you to John Fox. Thank you, Ben Birch. Thank you to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Good night, y'all.